What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pauk. Today is June 17th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. All right, we're back, baby, and Shohei Ohtani made his first start as a Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher. How did it go? Well, it was one inning, 28 pitches, one earned run, two hits, zero walks, zero strikeouts, three whiffs on those 28. I'm going to give it straight down the list here, okay? The good stuff, 99. He also hit 100. That's really cool. He has a flat attack angle. And if that four-seamer goes upstairs, that will get whiffs. We have a sweeper that he still believes in. That's good to see, too. Good movement on the sinker. Not a good splitter. But for the most part, he's throwing enough strikes. He has a really good flat attack angle four-seamer that can be exploited. The bad. Well, he needs to figure out his command a little bit. And he doesn't show off the cutter that we've seen in the past as a normal strike pitch in between. And I do think we do see that in time. Also, just 28 pitches. And it's kind of frustrating having an opener inside of your lineup. So for those that have one-way Ohtanis, that is just as a starting pitcher, it's tough because now you need to stash him instead of having him in your IL spot. It will likely take until the All-Star break. They will be very, very, very slow, I would imagine, of getting Ohtani up to speed. A lot of short leashes, all that kind of stuff. And it won't be until we start seeing 3-4 innings that we might see the cutter become more of a weapon for him. That said, by August, September, I do think that they're going to be pushing Ohtani more, making sure that he has the stamina for the playoffs. Very, very excited about that. And we'll talk about Ben Kasparis, who followed him later on in this podcast. One element I do want to mention is it's frustrating with this four-seamer with Ohtani, okay? I don't like the Dodgers as a whole, where they don't emphasize high four-seamers with flat attack angles. They keep them low a lot. And I think with Ohtani, we're not really going to get it. He's never really been a big whiff four-seamer guy, but he can now if he does this. I do wonder if he's really going to form that full command that we want him to have. But we're going to watch this on YouTube right after this podcast, and I hope you guys enjoy that. Also, all of these podcasts are live on Pitcher List. So you should be with me there, following along. It's right there. And you can see all this fun stuff as I go through. So, Clark Schmidt against the Angels. 7.2 innings of zero runs, four hits, zero walks, and three strikeouts. Yeah. Clark Schmidt's really good. His cutter is doing great things to both sides of the plate. He has sweepers for right-handers. He has curveballs for lefties. They're both great pitches. He also has a sinker that he normally throws inside to right-handers. Sometimes he doesn't always get there, but it works. And the Yankees' offense being really cold is to blame. Or maybe it's for the lack of win. Maybe it's actually Jose Soriano. He went 7 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. His curve was once again the CSW darling of old, 41% CSW and 7 over 29 whiffs. And what we saw last game for Soriano was 16 whiffs just on his sinker. Not quite the same here. And it wasn't as good command right at the bottom of the zone and super jammed to right-handers. It was kind of jammed to right-handers, not really super down as it was prior, but it was still good enough. And we didn't really see good sliders. We saw some of them, but they weren't very good. We didn't really see good splitters. But this was good enough, which is nice. And I guess we're going to chance it against the Astros. More right-handers there. Hopefully the slider steps up and you have that sinker staying down. That's really it. You need to see the sinker locations killing it for Soriano to be amazing. We had Lucas Giolito go. You might know of him. This was pretty cool. It was in Seattle. He got the win, 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts with 18 whiffs and a 37% CSW. 91 pitches thrown here. We had a Noble Tiger. If you don't know what that is, it's a no outs, bases loaded, end the inning getting no runs. I think it's close like that. But essentially, yeah, bases loaded, nobody out. And Giolito struck out J.P. Crawford, a really, really amazing fastballs upstairs. And then to Julio Rodriguez, I was literally screaming watching the live game with everybody on playback.tv/pitcherlist. That he should throw a changeup to Julio Rodriguez until he eventually did, and then he got him on the strikeout. The one to Cal Raleigh, though, oh my gosh, that was the stupidest pitch. I cannot believe that Cal Raleigh swung at this. I guess it was a curveball. It was 82 is what it says, but it was spiked so heavily that I think it even hit the infield grass, and Cal Raleigh still swung. Yeah. Long story short, though, this was a game of Giolito really having a phenomenal fastball. 94, 95 on velocity, which is great. If you remember, we saw some games where it was like 92. And seeing him at 94, 95 is higher than what we've ever seen before. If he sits 95, that is the best four-seamer velocity from Giolito. He's also going 6.8 extension. It's not quite at 7 feet, but it's above average, which is good. And you also have 18 inches of vert, also very good, especially for a high fastball. The attack angle isn't detrimental either. Sometimes you see that good vert and you get it at a 0.5, 0.6 VAA. Nope, you're seeing it at like 0.9, which is fine. That's average. That's good. We love that. So then it comes down to the slider and the changeup, maybe the curve, but no. The changeup fell underneath constantly in this one. The slider, I think there can be a lot of improvements still there. It's not quite the devastating pitch it can be to right-handers. If he's able to actually locate that thing down in glove side and paired with the four-seamer, Giolito has both weapons against right-handers and a really good foundation with the four-seamer. So yeah, I'm a fan. Obviously, pitching in Seattle does help Giolito for this one. It is at T. But yeah, he should be good. All right. I know we have some bad outings behind us. He even mentioned how he was looking at his mechanics from previous years with a skeleton mechanic so he can really see every part of his body moving and shifting. He made some changes. It clearly affected him positively here. But yeah, there are going to be times you don't want to start him in Fenway. That's fine. That's how it is for a lot of guys. You don't want a lot of guys even in like the 30s. They're like, oh no, this is the Yankees or this is the Dodgers. I don't really want to do that. Totally fine. But I do see Giolito as a Holly moving forward. And I am going to hold off on ranking that until, hey, you do it against Oracle Park and everything's cool there. Everything's kind of the same. But yeah, I'm really excited for what's ahead with this. And I hope that we see that command continue. And hopefully the slider actually at 87 to 89 gets better along the way. We have other guys to talk about. We have Ryan Pepiot. We have Ryan Gusto. Mitch Spence. Oh my gosh. Mick Abel. Logan Gilbert returning. We have all this stuff. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. Ryan Pepiot. Oh my gosh. Are you a believer? You should be. I've been pretty up on Pepiot for this year, waiting for this kind of start because it was 8 innings of 1 earned run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 11 strikeouts. Obviously, got the win there against the Orioles. 40% CSW for King Cole, 18 whiffs. And he had a slider and a cutter that were kind of melded, but there were times that you could see that the slider got a little bit more two-plane movement, and sometimes the cutter didn't, you know, stayed up a little bit harder. But it was 92% strikes across 25 thrown, which is bonkers. That's absolutely nuts. That's 23 over 25 strikes, one missing a piece. And I like it as a bridge pitch for him. Now, it is apparent that he isn't throwing this really down and away to right-handers. That's okay. The four-seamer is really good upstairs, and even changeups can work against right-handers. But it is something to consider when I think about Ryan Pepiot being that guy in the future. I don't expect that cutter, slider, whatever this breaking ball is, to be this big whiff pitch. I do think it can be a down and away pitch, at least it gets outs. Just something that changes the eye level a little bit more. But he is doing Cannibal McSanchez with it upstairs too. And then the changeup is that low pitch for him. So I love this. This is great. The Orioles are kind of the Orioles, and I get that too. But yeah, you should be rolling with Ryan Pepiot because the four-seamer is just amazing. It's an amazing foundation. And the fact that he now has two secondaries that are looking much better, yeah, that should get you excited. Mitch Spence against the Astros went 84 pitches. Did not expect this one. We didn't really know what was going on with the athletics of JT Ginn coming back as well. And he actually came up in relief for this one. So we got Spence for 5 innings, 1 earned run, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. He had a cutter and a curve and a slider that were commanded well to right-handers. He also had some Koufax of like, he got singled out a little bit, but then he got those outs when he needed to when they were on base. And yet it's not really that good. We have also a sinker that isn't very well spotted at all. 3 over 11 strikes with it, which is not fun. There are two problems I see right now with Spence. Is one, we don't really know what's going on with the Athletics rotation. It's just generally not good. Also with Sacraverd and all of that. So there's that aspect of it, even though this one was in Sacramento. But really, let's just say that he sticks in this rotation. It could be a 6-man, it could be 5, whatever. He'll likely get the Guardians, who are left-handed focus. And in this game, this was against the righties of Astros. I don't know if he's really well equipped for it. The ones that we saw here, those at bats, it was cutters down the middle or curves down the middle, and then everything else kind of up and out of the zone or down out of the zone. And then it'll be the Yankees after that. And I just feel you're already taking a risk, hoping that Mitch Spence can turn into something here. I mean, yes, it is 91 plus in the cutter now, not 90, but still. I don't think you want to chase it right now. Maybe in July or August. You have Ryan Gusto on the other side of it, again, in Sacra Verde. He gets a gold star because it was 8 strikeouts in 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk. And this was the best game I've seen from Ryan Gusto, bar none. This was Blake Snell blueprint with 4 seamers upstairs so well, and then setting up on both sides, lefties and righties. We had sinkers underneath against right-handers for a ton of outs, 16 to 17 inches of horizontal movement, which is cool with me. And then you have curveballs and changeups generally down for the most part, but not really up in middle or anything like that, not over the middle of the zone, a little bit of a neck beard, but generally down. And that's awesome. We had the changeup going 75% strikes. That is cool. The curveball was actually well located, but just didn't get the whiffs that you'd expect him locating down and in to lefties underneath the nitro zone. And that's great. And it's exciting to see a guy put it all together for a game and have the command that you just want him to have and say, oh, wow, if you do the things right, your stuff is good enough. And now he gets the Angels and Cubs and Dodgers. So maybe against the Angels, even though the curve and changeup were against lefties and he'd really just going four seamer sinker a ton against righties, I don't really know if that's going to work. Yeah, it's just, I'm not going to go for this because the matchups are not good enough. He has a shag rug, which is a little man's floor, the young man's floor. We've seen it before. And honestly, most of the time we see a really well commanded start like this from someone who hasn't done before. It generally doesn't stick around for the next one. It's just a moment of good rhythm or feel. And yeah, but that was fun. That was a good job, Ryan Gusto. Mick Abel. Now, Mick Abel is a more command-focused pitcher, and it's what makes me like him a lot because the four-seamer and sinker are generally well-spotted. Four-seamers go upstairs. The sinker is in the inner half. I wish it was a little bit more inside, and he took a lesson from Zach Wheeler on how to do that. But 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks with a win against the Marlins is just nice. That's fine. 77 pitches, sure. Only 23% CSW in this. And I'm really disheartened by his curve and his slider right now in changeup. The secondaries are just not the great pitches that we want them to be yet. He had 1 over 27 whiffs between the curve and the slider. Ah, but that's the next step. It's only been, what, like 3 starts we've seen from Mick Abel? And I think over time we are going to see this. He has a fair amount of runway without Nola returning imminently. And then you have Andrew Painter coming after the All-Star break. And who knows what the Phillies rotation looks like when that time happens. So I think that Mick Abel over time will get the slider and curveball working well. If he does, if he actually gets a legitimate whiff pitch out of those one of those 2 pitches, then I do see top 30 talent here because it is a good enough four-seamer to get outs. Sinker playing off of it. It should be a better breaking ball whiff pitch. And the changeup is a work in progress. He still really is not doing well with it. He had 2 whiffs on 5 thrown, but they were not good changeups at all. So, yeah, that's where we're at with Mick Abel. I'm holding on to this. I think that he's going to get better and improve along the way. And the floor is better than usual from these rookies because of that fastball command. You have Ben Kasparias going 3.2 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks in relief of Shohei Ohtani, but he started at the end of the, like, with 1 out of the second and then got relieved in the second. It was weird. What I see here is 96 upstairs, which is great. I see 17.5 inches of vert on that. Bad extension, but I'll take it. 96 with that vert and trying to go upstairs. Thank you so much for actually trying to do that as a Dodger. 66% strikes, 35% CSW. That's really cool. You have a legit sweeper that you're throwing against right-handers. I dig that. And then you have 91, 92 mile per hour cutters that have over 11 inches of drop differential than the heater. That is so good. That is like 4 mile per hour difference with a huge amount of drop. I dig that. And then you have a big curveball at 81 that has 13 inches of negative 13 inches of vert, which is huge as well. That's a what, 30-inch difference between that and the four-seamer. So we're at 62 pitches for Kasparius. I do think he's going to continue being the piggyback for Ohtani. Just makes all the sense. And eventually, I think they'll both get split out, right? So I'd say keep going with Kasparius. You have the higher win chance right now because he's going to be showing up in like the third inning or so with that elongated pitch count. And I think that Kasparius does develop into something legitimate here because he does have good stuff and the command isn't horrible. He's going to throw enough strikes with us. So I'm a fan of Kasparius. I think you should have them in all leagues, including 12 teamers, 10 teamers, or points leagues, not as much or quality start because you're not going to get as much volume, but you are going to get good production with wins in that time. I have Sandy Alcantara against the Phillies having a good game, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk and 5 strikeouts. I'm not as sold yet because I don't think the changeup is the out pitch yet. Only 1 out on 17 thrown. And that's a huge deal because this is why we have 100 pitches for 5 innings. Alcantara has gone like 7 innings of 80 pitches before, right? And that's kind of what we expect because he's able to generate outs on his fastballs and his changeup. Early at bats, getting them in play, all that kind of stuff. Tons of foul balls on this. We had 8 over 17 on that changeup alone. And the way I see it right now is Sandy Alcantara is not the guy that you think he is until he's spotting fastballs and then getting results with the changeup. It is good to see 10 over 23 called strikes on the slider. Love that. That's we'll take that all day. We'd love to see also more high velocity fastballs. We saw a lot more at 99 and above than we have before. Saw some at 100 as well. But I'm still tepid on chasing Sandy Alcantara against Atlanta and Arizona with that fastball and changeup not looking like they used to. It is nice, by the way, having a curveball at 64% strikes and no hits on 14 thrown as your number five. That has been a welcome addition. It's also not really the best slider, by the way. Got a lot of called strikes, but like it's not really a big whiff pitch. And it really does come down to, hey, you need to be able to get that sinker inside, get those outs with that pitch, get that changeup getting whiffs and just returning a ton of weak outs. You have Logan Gilbert against the Red Sox getting a gallows pull with 21 whiffs. And I had him at 26, I believe, on the list, maybe 27. Because I said, look, like after 3 games, that's the rule now. You come back from the IL. I'm not just going to assume that you're instantly an ace. But yeah, you were instantly an ace here. My gosh. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts. You got the loss because you're opposite of Giolito there. He will be away from Seattle, which we know that Gilbert is better at, of course, and going against the Cubs and not the Devers-less Red Sox. So that is going to be an interesting one on his path to ace redemption or his reclamation project. And I'm excited for that one. Hopefully it works out. Jake Irvin did well against Rocky Road. Thank you so much. 3 earned runs in 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. We'll take that all day. And back to the wire for you. Carson Palmquist, I was hoping for good things against the Nationals on the other side of this, but it was 4.2 innings, 4 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. He has 7.4 feet of extension from the left side. Yeah, it's like 90 miles per hour or whatever at best. But I just wish he weren't on the Rockies. I feel like he's kind of cool, but yeah, no, you can't. Then you have Dylan Cease being a cherry bomb, not just overall, game by game, but actually inning by inning, as it was 5 innings, 6 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. He was singled out. 4 singles scored 5 runs. 3 of them were back-to-back with 2 outs, and back-to-back-to-back with 2 outs for 3 more runs. Ugh, it was so frustrating. And that's the world of Dylan Cease. Understand that the ERA and the WHIP are not good. I get it. Totally do. 15 earned runs of this season came from 2 starts. One was 9 earned runs against the Athletics, and one was 6 here against the Dodgers. Like, okay. You know, it really, if your understanding of Cease is that he's capable of this every game or something, like, no, that's not it. Also the Dodgers, too. And last but not least is Zach Eflin against the Rays. Well, maybe least, because it was 7 earned runs in 5 innings, 12 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. He was singled out. He had 2 earned runs, but still 10 hits otherwise. At the same time, he threw terrible pitches. His command was just off. Completely. And to see Eflin have really good command prior to this and then not, very tough to endure. I'm not saying that you need to hold on to Eflin at the moment because it is the Yankees. And I've called them a low-end Holly, but seeing this kind of command is terrifying. And then the Yankees, even though they've been cold, like, you better shape it up, Eflin. In 15 teamers, I think you got a hold on the bench on that one. And if you are in a quality start league and there's nothing on the wire, then just bench him And I think Eflin should be better moving forward after that Yankee start. But right now, it's just, you know what? You don't need to do it. You don't need to do it. You're not getting like a top 30 guy if you hold on to this either, right? He's just going to be a productive arm that is at the back end of your rotation if it gets fixed, which should really help with the weighing your decisions. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much with your patience. I apologize again for missing the podcast yesterday. But I got both of them done today. And that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock and Mayor Babasulo, and your strikeouts high.